Hey there, droid heads. Just a note about this week's episode of the pod. We have some very funny guests joining us, and there's just a few moments during the recording where our humor might lean a bit more towards our adult listeners. So if you usually listen with the fam, you might want to give this one a listen ahead of everybody else. We had a blast, though, and hope you enjoy.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking
about?
I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking.
And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
This is madness.
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Sam, and we are joined today by a few special guests. Chris, you want to take it away?
Yeah, that's right. You've seen her learning the invisible step and building a tinfoil ball on YouTube for BuzzFeed. If you're in the NIC area, you've definitely seen her performing at UCB. And if neither of those things, you're about to hear her right now, please welcome Sarah Burton.
Hello, pleased to be with you.
Thank you so much for being here, Sarah. And our other guest, she's a writer at the monthly show Night Late at UCB. Also can be heard as the voice of Dara, the omnisexual security guard on Mission to Zix, an audio boom science fiction podcast. Please welcome Allie Kokesh.
Hello.
Hey.
Allie and Sarah, we're thrilled to have you both here. Thank you so much for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Chris?
Yeah.
What beautiful intros those were.
Thank you so much.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
It would be remiss to not mention that us in the audience were on the edge of our seats
yeah.
the whole time. What a tightrope walk it was.
It's really a crapshoot once I start a sentence if I can actually finish it.
So we want to get into Sarah and Allie's kind of journey through Star Wars. But first up, we have some very exciting Star Wars news this week in terms of casting for Episode 9. So,
oh my God.
Kerry Russell, discuss.
This is true.
So in.
Wait.
I'm so
in. And then
in.
We'll get to the big, big
wait,
one.
Wait, you have to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
So last week, we got news. It was announced that, right. The Republic, what started was, it was a trade dispute initially. and there were two Jedi sent to discuss
wait
it with the Nemoidians.
No.
Oh, no, sorry. So last week, they announced that J.J. Abrams had brought on his frequent collaborator, Kerry Russell, to join the cast of Episode 9 in an undisclosed role. Although The Hollywood Reporter was really sort of like, you know, sort of insinuating that it was going to be an action-based role because of all her action on the Americans.
Wow. But it's unclear. Unclear.
It's unclear. It's
not, unclear.
Yeah, I don't believe her
it's
name
Felicity.
Is
Felicity.
Yeah, it's Felicity.
They don't know she'll play a heroine or a villain.
She could be playing a heroine. She could be playing a villain. She could be playing a human. She could be playing an alien. She could be a droid. She could be a ship.
I hope she's not a droid.
She could be a Sith.
That would be, I feel like, a waste of Kerry Russell.
I agree.
Yeah.
It would. And I think she'll be an on-screen role.
Yeah.
I think she'll be
exciting.
A villain.
I'm a huge fan.
I think she's going to be a villain.
She could be. Coming
you
off
think
the
she's a villain?
Well, yeah. I guess it's ambiguous if you think her as a Russian spy is a villain.
I think that's a villain.
Not on this podcast.
No. Do you think she'll whisper the whole time like she did on that show?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Long, pensive conversations.
She'll probably wear a lot of different wigs and stuff.
Oh, that'd be
true.
Great. I'd love to see her wear like a mustache and a big pair of glasses.
Right. And then that'd the second exciting. Half of the movie, she'll get a haircut.
Again, JJ.
I know. Yeah, it's dangerous.
Oh, my God. It'll destroy everybody again.
I mean, she kind of looks like Daisy Ridley. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a thing?
Ooh. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Are you getting into this already?
Yeah.
Yeah. We are.
That's where
I think
my
they're
head
gonna jump.
At.
I think they're gonna jump ahead like 15
Kerry
years.
Russell
and I don't think
Daisy
I don't think Daisy's going to be in it.
Oh.
I'll tell you what. That'd be bold. That'd be a bold move.
Really?
It'd be a real bold move.
Wait,
do you think it'd be Carrie bold? Russell. You're saying really to bold?
44. That's
let's
cool.
guess. Yeah. Hold on.
Let's find that out. We have a How old team Carrie of Russell? Researchers yeah. looking this up
Carrie
right
Russell?
Now.
She
I'm putting
is...
her. I'm putting her at 41.
I'm okay. going to say 43.
Okay.
45.
Well, Sarah and I know the answer. And
on the count, we'll say it all. I'll say it on the count of three.
Right, they one. Just you just said 41, 43, and 45.
Nobody said it because it's 42.
Whoa. Oh. Wow.
42. My Price is Right rules, I win.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
42 you, years Charlie. Young. Wow.
Wait, no.
Yeah, you
said 41.
You can't go over. You can be under and close.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, her age would have won if I was the answer.
Right.
Which is what I was thinking.
Well, this is not The Price is Right.
You know what, guys? We don't. This is definitely not where we need to be spending our time.
It makes sense.
If you rewind it, what I said makes sense. It is true, but that's not how we're playing Price is Right. So it's fine.
Listen to it on your second go around. Everybody listen twice, please.
Yes.
So this is very exciting. Carrie Russell has worked with J.J. Abrams a number of times, most notably on Felicity, but she was also, spoiler alert, in a very small role in Mission Impossible 3. That I think she crushed in. So it's exciting to see them together. I think that
you
the,
are the only person with that opinion because you're the only person who saw that Mission Impossible.
I don't. I'm not. On, I know not for a fact I'm podcast. Not the only person on this podcast that has seen Mission Impossible.
I don't.
hey man, $350 million worldwide doesn't lie.
She had an explosive charge in her head.
You just know that off the top of your head.
Do you have a girlfriend? Because I'm going to find her. And I'm going to hurt her.
Owen Davian put an explosive charge in her head. And
doesn't matter.
Okay. I see.
But the speculation on the Ray's parentage will continue forever. Mm-hmm. And even when people get the answer that they've already been given and are still awaiting, they won't believe it then either. So
what's the big
deal? Is she Ray's mother?
Maybe. That's kind of where I'm at. It's like
I mean, like...
Who cares who her parents are? Literally, Star Wars only cares about who your parents are.
I'm so sick of this bloodlust. It's like, bloodline this. Who's your mommy? Right. Who's your daddy? Like, get over it.
It's kind of like we live in like a suburb in Connecticut or something. I'm like, who's your parents?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know what?
Chris has feelings
I just
about
to
Connecticut.
To everybody listening in Connecticut.
Too real.
You know, that
I've been
not
watching the show American.
How the pod feels.
American Housewife.
I love American. We've talked about this.
It takes place in Connecticut. That's
it
why
does.
I use that as
Katie
an example.
Otto.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to listen to the American Housewife pod hosted by Chris.
House pod.
But this also brings us to
American
the other
House
very
pod.
Exciting news, which is that they've confirmed that Billy Dee Williams will be appearing as Lando.
That's great.
In episode 9. The nature of his appearance, we don't know yet, whether it'll be a cameo or like a main part, mm-hmm. the way that they did with Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill, but he will be returning, and that's very exciting news.
Wow.
Yeah, or if it'll be like trotting out the last one left.
Ooh! Yeah,
who knows?
Ouch!
Who knows?
Yeah.
The last one left. I mean, he is 81 years old.
Wow, he's 81.
Oh yeah. My God, I
that's
wouldn't have pegged that.
I was
a lot
wondering,
older than I thought.
Like, they don't usually show him at the premieres or anything like mm-hmm. that. He's just kind of, he hasn't been talked about, and I feel like with Solo coming out, now he's probably on more people's minds.
He was at the Solo premiere. There's pictures of him and Donald Glover. They were like dressed both in red. They're both
was he
in
wearing
red.
Sunglasses inside? I feel like I've always seen him wearing sunglasses inside.
You know, the pictures were from outside, so I don't know. Maybe he put them on.
Has Billy Dee commented on how in interviews Glover said that now, like, he played the character as, like, omnisexual or sexually fluid. Hmm. Like, that's kind of... I mean, I have no idea how it was in Billy's mind, but,
right.
like, now has that shifted it? Like,
right.
I think of the generation that Billy Dee Williams was from, we were all just, like, really relieved that he didn't launch a vehement campaign denying it.
Great.
You know what I mean? It's always a risk with like actors of that generation that they'll be like, what? No. He's very straight. And that's how I played him. And that's
he's
who he is.
So
you know, like,
straight. He's attracted to no one.
Well, maybe just different points in your life. Like you can be more fluid and then later you kind of get more set in your ways.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
Well, it's like when George Takei said he thought it was a shame that they made Sulu a gay character in Star Trek
Beyond.
Yes. And everybody was kind of like, Really?
No, that's we liked you.
You're gonna take on that one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, but no, I don't think we have a response. Back.
I don't want to talk about Star Trek. I want to talk about Star Wars.
Thank you for
I,
keeping us on track. Mm-hmm, on track.
Yeah, save it for Sam's yearly Star Trek podcast.
Off track. We got a little off track.
I want to talk about Mission Impossible, though. No. I do want to go back to the
Mission Impossible. Listen, we're going to have Mission Impossible sometime soon.
There it is. You're both welcome as honorary droids.
Have literally never seen a Mission Impossible.
I've definitely seen one.
Oh, my God. Want to be on our five-part podcast?
Oh, yeah. Me and Ryan are going to do a miniseries. All about Cruz's hair length.
Cruzcast.
True. Do you think that they will address in episode 9 that Lando seemingly ignored the distress call from the Resistance?
Oh, interesting.
Or do you think they'll just kind of gloss over it?
I
think they're just going to gloss over it.
So you're referring to in the end of The Last Jedi when Leia sends out the distress signal and no one answers. What was Lando
doing?
It
was put as, they've heard it, they're just not coming.
Oh, so it's very clearly indicated that no one wants to help out.
She says Lando heard it.
I think he'll show up and have some line about being late to the party, but sorry, or something, and like...
I feel like his role is going to be actually like small. I feel like remember like how Edward James did any. Oh, this is a spoiler potentially. Did anybody see the new Blade Runner?
Yeah.
I saw it.
You know, like how Edward James almost showed up for that scene.
Yeah,
I feel like it's going to be something like that. Maybe like a little more substantial.
Mm. Probably funnier. I think that's probably true. He's not going to be a major featured character. It's not going to be the Harrison Ford or Mark Hamill role from the previous two. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he's... And I don't think anyone... I don't know. Right. Do you think people expect that? I don't necessarily think people are thinking it's going to be some huge role.
He's just such a beloved character. I could see them make it... I could definitely see it being bigger than maybe you would suspect.
I think also that they're... rightfully so, I think that he should be in this trilogy. I think that also they're acknowledging that this trilogy is kind of going to wrap it up, you know, in terms of the Skywalker saga, and that they should get Lando in again, you know, before it's all over.
Yeah, give him one more go.
Yeah, and I think hopefully they found an organic way to fit the character in, because they haven't seemed to yet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about other things we think they should bring back.
I like this.
What's the first on your list, Sarah?
Yeah.
Speaking of things to bring back, let's talk to our guests a little bit about their journey of Star Wars and things that mean a lot to them. Allie and Sarah, individually, in whatever order you choose, what is your level of fandom? What was your first experience with Star Wars? How did you get kind of into this universe that we love so much?
Okay, I'm going to go first, because I think I'll disappoint you. I think I saw my first experience with Star Wars was when they rebooted them and, like, remastered them and re-released them in theaters when we were all, like, in middle school.
Sure.
And I don't remember which it was. I think it was definitely one with Jabba, and... I fell asleep in the theater. And pretty much decided after that, I was like, this isn't for me. This is not my nerddom.
Right.
And probably not until, and then I saw the first of the new movies.
Oh, that got you right back into
it. Oh yeah. Young Anakin, like, cemented again for me. Star Wars is not for me. And definitely not until they rebooted it again did I care about Star Wars.
So you're a newer convert.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So The Force Awakens was like the big one for
Isn't that absurd? I think.
No, I don't think so. I think that's absurd. A great entry point for people.
Yeah. I mean, I truly... And then I obviously went back and watched the originals. Mm-hmm. And had a good laugh about all the Anakin Chronicles.
Right.
How did my point of view. So going back to the original trilogy, not the prequels, how did that ring to you after seeing The Force Awakens and kind of being more invested at that point?
I think the problem, too, is at this point, like, I know everything about Star Wars.
Yeah, it's so ingrained, right?
Yeah, like, I know as much as, like, The Simpsons has provided for me.
Right.
And then any conversation with Chris.
Right.
In fact,
Chris's room is basically like a spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you have to be careful.
I think I've even seen one of the movies with you at midnight.
Yeah, probably Rogue One, I think.
Was it?
Or was it?
No, it was
The Force Awakens.
No, it was
Last Jedi. I've got to just keep naming
it. It was the spin-off one.
It had to be Rogue One.
It was Rogue One? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I do want to give a brief public service announcement just in that vein. Anyone in the tri-state area, if you've ever like wanted to get tickets to a Star Wars premiere and you couldn't, Chris has some extras.
Sure.
And he probably hasn't started begging people to go yet. So definitely do it, because Chris, like, sight unseen, will buy no less than 20 tickets opening weekend.
This is the truth.
This is how someone who had no commitments from other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a midnight couple weeks screening. Ago, yeah.
A couple weeks ago on a Saturday morning at 11:40, I got a text from Chris asking if me and my fiance wanted to go see Jurassic World 2 at noon.
20 minutes and, from the showtime.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And we passed because it was sort of not in our plans at that point.
Yeah, it seems a little...
And Chris had told me that he woke up that morning and realized that he had 6 tickets to that movie and had forgotten that he'd purchased them.
The theater let me return
months
them
before.
That's great.
So he walked to the theater,
Did
returned
you just
them all.
Say like they were all supposed to come for my birthday?
Well, they asked me.
And
they're
they
like,
didn't.
They're like. They're like, what happened? I was like, everybody bailed.
Oh, how could you turn a guy like that away?
One weekend in college, Chris texted me at 11 a.m. on a Sunday and said, I have 16 tickets to see Knights in Rodanthe.
That's not true.
Do you want to go? It was fine.
But
you
went. 16 tickets.
But you went, and we had so much space. It was great.
A great time.
Yeah.
Our friends will be sitting in this row.
So, Allie, have you seen all of the Disney-era Star Wars movies then, after going back? Like, have you seen The Last Jedi and Solo?
I have not seen Solo.
Ooh.
I know. That's,
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't get around to it. Even though I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
She's great.
Mm. Yeah.
She's a highlight in it, for sure.
She really is.
I would
imagine.
It's
a fun movie. I mean, it'll be, you know what? It'll be a great rental.
Yeah.
Or something to watch on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
That's where movies go
well,
to
Well, congratulations
kind of
on all the flights.
Out.
Thank you.
That's very impressive.
Wow, flying.
I don't fly consistently enough to know I'll see a movie on a flight. That's very cool. And Sarah, what were your entry point? What's your history of Star Wars?
My entry point. Well, I'm just going to start off by saying
entry point to Star Wars.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I feel like I was retroactively made a creep in that exchange.
So my parents were what you would call Star Wars haters.
Whoa.
So I had no introduction to it for like throughout my entire childhood until I started.
Were they actively keeping you away from it?
Yeah, well, like, they made fun of it, so to me it was just like,
that's amazing.
You knew the references, but it was like, oh, that's stupid, that's for nerds. So then I started, kind of two things happened at the same time. In high school, I started babysitting this kid who was into the Star Wars Lego game.
Ooh.
And okay. I started dating a guy who was a big Star Wars fan.
Was this your way to rebel? This is your way to rebel.
So this was how I rebelled against them. And I watched the Star Wars. And I would like to say I watched the first, the original three with my boyfriend. I did, and I watched it with a 10-year-old boy. But, you know, honestly.
That's kind of the way to do it.
No, but really, I freaking loved them immediately. Mm-hmm. And I think episode 1 and 2 had already come out, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I think I watched them, and I sadly watched them. Wasn't a fan, but I remember episode 3 came out sometime we were in high school, mm-hmm. and I remember the trailer looking really good, and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I love a turning evil story. I'm going to love this. And I definitely like dressed up and wow. went to the midnight.
What'd you dress as?
Evil.
Evil. Like a generic Jedi, I'm not going to say. I didn't dress up like Princess Leia or anything. My boyfriend had those cool lightsabers that like actually lit up.
Extended.
Oh, they're, those were huge when that came out.
Yeah.
They were like $120 bucks.
They were fun. Yeah. So we
You were big into like Han and Leia, as I remember.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Hondo P. Right? I mean, I'm only there for Han and Leia. Really? At heart, I'm a hornball looking for that, you know, sexy love story, and it really gave it to me in the original three with that. It's just like erotic tension, and I was, you know, I felt it in my loins.
If you could coin a phrase for Han and Leia, like, you know how they do, like, one word that merges two people, what would that be?
Wow. Because you can't say Hana, because that's kind of like a name.
Yeah.
You can just say Hanle.
Hanle.
Hanle, I guess. Hanle. Hanle. Lehan. Lehan.
Lolo.
Lolo?
Yeah. I definitely watched episode 3 and like I think I tried to defend it at first.
It's awesome.
Okay, whoa. I don't.
Controversial.
Yeah, we have
on this pod.
I think it could have been. The writing's so bad. Like the dialogue, the story itself I think is good, mm-hmm. but it is the dialogue really kills it.
Really,
and that's
the
problem with all those first three.
Sometimes when we love things, we got to look past their flaws. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there wasn't any hot banging in that one either, so it wasn't.
That we know of.
Man, you're really, you have all like, the eggs in the basket for episode 9, huh?
Yeah,
you're
waiting really for that to happen. I really do.
You've been waiting for it.
They got me. They got
I remember
me
seeing
all...
that you said when episode 7 came out, you said, if Han's dead, where's all the hot banging?
Spoiler alert.
He went out onto that bridge, and I thought, they're going to hot bang.
This is it.
Leia's about to fly in.
Yeah, I've definitely rewatched the first three just watching Han and Leia scenes. It's something I've definitely done.
Okay, but let's be real about one quick thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Lean in.
Was he always planning on them being brother and sister? Not Han and Leia, but Luke and Leia being brother and sister?
I think it's worth bringing up. That seems weird if he was.
Right, because you were just saying you've watched all three, like, mm-hmm. in a binge. And I watched all three, like, relatively close to each other.
Right.
So, like, how long between the first two was the release?
That's
3 years.
3 years.
Okay, so that's enough time for, like, an average moviegoer to be like, oh, right, I forgot they kissed on the mouth and wanted to go further.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I always felt like it was just, like, a trying to make them jealous thing. So,
you know.
I don't know. I was like, okay with that. I've done that to my brother. I'm like... Like trying to make a boy jealous. Like, look at me and kiss my brother.
Look
jealous.
At me putting my tongue in my brother's mouth.
So that's the go-to method, Sarah. Yeah. If you needed to make a boy jealous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just any boy. Her husband.
Uh, just addressing this, the brother and sister.
Yeah.
whether he had planned it or not. So people often are like, well, if he was planning it, then he wouldn't have had them kiss because that'd be too weird.
See, I don't think there was ever going to be... there was never going to be a thing with them because he's Jesus. He was like, right. He's Jesus.
He knows what he's
talking about, Luke.
With. Right.
Yeah, that's like...
Are you talking about George?
Yeah, I'm talking about George.
It sounds like you're talking about George.
I'm talking about Luke. Yeah. I'm talking about Luke.
I guess it makes sense, too. And it also, like, really, it's like, there's no... If somebody found out and he'd be like, really, they're brother and sister, they just kissed. Like, if somebody found out the secret.
Yeah.
But then
I think,
like, you told
I think
me
George Lucas thinks about his characters so like non-sexually,
right?
That I think he's just like, well, kissing or not, whatever, you know, everybody kisses. You know, like I don't know.
It's hard to know. I mean, honestly, I wasn't tricked by the like. I never got to watch the first three being like, oh, will Luke and Leia get together? Like, I knew they didn't. Oh, oh, that's his dad? I knew that. Right. You know, like, those were never surprising turns for me.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew the first time I saw them. I knew the I am your father reveal, but I don't think I knew that Leia was Luke's sister. And I do remember thinking it was weird, and not because I remembered them kissing, but just because... I definitely remembered it like it was a love triangle. It was like it was set up to be like these two men are competing for the affections of the princess.
And then quickly veered off course.
And then the one of them was just like, well, he's not going to win her heart, but it's okay. Because they can have a platonic, you know, ex-weird relationship
also,
as siblings.
It's okay because
he's above it. He's above it. He really right. is.
Do you guys think that these like people who are really angry about the treatment of Luke in The Last Jedi because they saw themselves as Luke and they feel like he was like too dark in that movie? Do you think when that reveal happened in The Last Jedi, they were like, I saw myself in Luke and he kissed his sister. Like, do you think they were mad?
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Luke is the least relatable character
right?
to me.
Yeah. Because
he behaves the least like a human being.
That's he is a droid.
Here's the thing. And like,
and a child at some point.
Removing any, like he behaves, especially by the end of the original trilogy, he's behaving like a clergy person. You know, like, he's very, like, monotone and kind of...
That's what I'm...
I mean, dare
Jesus.
I say, and I love these stories, like, he's kind of boring. You know, like, he's just like a dude that you'd be like, I don't want to hang out with him.
This is a male archetype that appears over and over again in literature. And he sucks in the end because he's boring and he didn't have intercourse with anyone.
Unless Rey is his daughter.
Yeah, until we find out.
All right, yeah.
Until we find out his character and Carrie Russell's character had a daughter.
Oh, my God, what another Hollywood trope that would be. If Luke and Carrie Russell were together, come on.
Right?
Wait, there is something that I can't quite remember, and I know Chris, through obsessive rewatching, can answer this.
Sure.
Because, I'm sure we could all answer it.
Okay.
So, wow.
You might not want to target Chris too
Luke
hard.
Luke wanted to kill his nephew or didn't want to kill his nephew? I can't remember.
So there's many sides to the story.
We see all of the sides
He didn't want to kill him, but...
He had the inclination at one point, and then he stopped himself.
Yeah.
As fleeting as a shadow.
He wanted to and then decided not to.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think he, like, wanted to. I think his instinct was to.
I just think
he got angry.
Something he saw some line about he saw a darkness in him that, you know, presumably the potential for that darkness to, like, rival what he saw in his own father. And so it was like, it was, like, instinctive. It was a reaction.
Yeah, like, to go to Sarah's point.
That
he
decided
just got angry.
Against.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk more about the shirtless scenes
with Kylo Ren.
With Kylo Ren, yeah.
They kind of called it out in the movie, too.
Did they?
Yeah, because she's like, can you put a shirt on or a towel?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
want
yeah.
To,
it was
You want
so
no one to acknowledge
hot.
It?
Yeah.
It was
they called
so,
it out because he had no shirt on.
No, they called it they out because she was turned on by it, and she had to, you know, she was I'm turned on. Please put your shirt on.
You like all the Han Leia stuff. Yeah. How do you feel about the Kylo Rey stuff?
Yeah,
I'm all about it. Let's get them together, people.
Wow. I'm a big Kylo Rey shipper.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Unrelated, whatever.
You got it. No, it's obviously Kylo Rey.
Kylo Rey. Yeah, yeah, it feels nice.
If the world of the story they end up being related, it's all made up.
No.
Sure.
No, they're not.
They cannot be related.
Tension.
I'm so tired of that.
The sexual tension's too strong. They're not related.
It is weird that they're brother and sister.
Shut
the
up.
The tension is strong with these.
I hope they get together. I'd love to see that. Or,
so bad.
Whatever. I'll be happy with whatever they give me, honestly.
Wait, speaking of their sexual tension, now I remember how upset I was
when they didn't kiss.
No, when she chose not to go with him.
Oh, right.
I was like, it would be so much more interesting to watch these two people choose evil together.
It would have been a fundamental
shift. Really hot. Like,
really hot. Just I mean, they're going to get together. They're just doing a little cat and mouse. They're building up that tension.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm sure she's going to have to murder him, and I'm going to be so mad about it.
Well, can you imagine the challenge that would have posed the Resistance, who are ostensibly our heroes,
if they were against
the
First Order and the two, and the two most powerful beings in the galaxy?
Yeah.
But them getting together.
But I bet their kid would be like a nerd.
But I'm saying them getting together guarantees 4 more episodes.
Yeah. That's true. I have a running theory that's like episode 9, part 1, part 2, part 3. They're going to drag this on.
I mean, if it's just like a lot more Kylo and
one of them's like a romantic vacation comedy on Hawaii.
51st Dates.
Yeah, it's basically like that, or that couples retreat movie. It's just gonna be like them figuring it out.
Oh my god.
Oh, that couples retreat starring Jon Favreau?
Yeah. Deep cut.
My old friend, Jon Favreau. Yeah. I can't wait to get
really
my couples retreat.
Friend of the pod?
I really think they should get together because I think it's really, you know how like you can be a feminist but you like getting robbed. You know what I'm saying? Like your sexuality is different than your values, and that's why I think it could be really interesting if they explored a lot more of the sexuality and how that differs from her values.
Star Wars is
definitely think that's it's the podium for it.
Star Wars is probably the place to try it out. It would be a bold move.
Yeah.
Like 50 Shades
the
of Star Wars.
The next one's rated R.
It's a hard R.
Oh my
it's
gosh. Yeah. They're already in
Here's
the red
the
room.
Yeah, it's like, right. I'm laughing and I'm playing the part of like shaking head person. I can't tell you how excited I would be if episode 9 was a hard R rated exploration of sexuality.
Right.
Far, far away. It's thrilling.
Oh, and we get to see Billy Dee play omnisexual Lando, who will have
like,
sex with
time,
everybody in the galaxy.
That'd be
get
cool.
out the capes,
the whole,
buddy. We're
the
doing
whole
it.
The trilogy is leading up to this moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were slowly teasing ideas from each film.
Could you imagine the trailer comes out and at the end it says rated NC-17 and everybody's just like, why?
I think that would be so fair because honestly, I mean, most of these super fans were older than 17 because it's been around for a while. Okay.
Right.
We're all.
Yeah.
Give us.
Yeah. I don't care. I could go see the movie. I don't care about the people under 17.
The droids. After dark.
This is Droids Pod After Hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all right. It's not even that bad.
Also, you know what? We asked our good friend Sarah what brought her to Star Wars, and she answered honestly.
Yeah.
And she answered where she hopes it goes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Allie, is there anywhere you wanna see them take it in episode 9? Or have we covered it?
I wanted Rey to be evil. I wanted her to like have a hot, steamy sex scene with Kylo Ren.
Okay,
and
so
I don't really know that I care about any of the other characters.
So I think we all agree what we want to see in episode 9 is some hot banging.
I'd see a threesome. I'll say that also.
Who's the third party in that?
Billy D.
No.
Wait, also, wait, we should, I want to, now that we're talking about it, I'm thinking about Star Wars, which
I honestly don't even know if we can release this anyway, so
whatever. Great.
Are you kidding?
He vanishes at the end of the episode. Skywalker.
Yeah. Right.
So that's it. He's done.
Yeah, I think most official accounts says he's
yeah,
done.
Yeah, I think he's done. Over.
You I think he will appear
that?
As a force.
I do.
I think he will appear as a force ghost in episode 9.
Yeah. Oh yeah, maybe a ghost, but
but
he's
like
gone.
He didn't get to say, "Rey, I am your father."
Right. Right. Yeah.
So
probably
I think he'll come
not.
Back as a force ghost. Like in the original trilogy, Obi-Wan kind of comes back and just says exposition.
Can I also add?
Oh no.
This really upset me about him, like, vanishing like that. He has a robotic arm.
Right.
Why did the robotic arm vanish with him? It's inorganic material.
That's interesting.
I mean, why would his body's inorganic?
Well, his clothes stayed behind.
Yeah.
So
but why
arm,
did his arm go?
His arm should have also.
That's true. It should have landed with a big
Maybe
old funk.
Maybe he needed it in the afterlife. Yeah.
Some people say the ending of the movie did land with a big old thunk.
Oh, really?
Wow.
But not me.
Maybe he took it off earlier.
Who said that so he could promptly agree with them?
I was told once that I was cripplingly empathetic. That I'll agree with my guest. And I said, I understand why you would think that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the thunk. I agree with you on that point, though. The arm should have
stayed.
What
behind.
A great shot that would have been to see the arm. It would have been a little Terminator.
Don't you feel like it would have really kind of depleted the moment a little?
No.
I don't know. He should have just taken it off first.
Do you know what it should have been? He should have been doing the live long and prosper.
Yeah.
It should have been the hand, and then we could be like, it was Spock the whole time.
Yeah, that'd be something.
I wouldn't like
Sam,
that.
How
this
do you
is
feel
another,
about that?
I just want to say something about the Star Trek
I'm
references
sad we're down
you're making. I've never seen Star Trek, and I don't
appreciate
the references.
Are you about to call us nerds? Is this the other thing your parents hated
nerds?
That stuck?
The one thing... Yeah, no. This isn't even from my parents. This was just a strong belief I had. I thought you could only like one. Like,
me
you
too.
Like Star Wars, or you like Star Trek. You guys were different sides. You hated each other.
Wow.
And so, like, once I jumped on Star Wars bandwagon, I was like, well, I hate them.
Sarah, I will tell you that on the current, series of Star Trek, the CBS TV series Star Trek Discovery, in season 1 there is a very, very explicit and graphic sex scene between a Klingon and a human.
What? Oh my god, what a
you just converted Sarah to a Star Trekkie.
What?
Yeah.
Can you send me that scene?
Yeah. Don't worry. I've got it right
you know
here
where
on
to
my
send
hard drive.
It.
doesn't even need to know what a Klingon is.
Oh my god, you're right. We are just talking to each other now. We are not releasing this.
No, I still believe it should be released because I think there are a lot of people that will relate to the 10-year-old boy who played the Star Wars Legos game, and that's where he first learned.
Yeah. Well, we can edit. There's the magic of editing.
This is going to be
I wouldn't
very
even know
it's going to be like, please welcome our guest, Allie and Sarah. Thank you so much for
Legos.
I saw Star Wars Legos. Thank you so much. You guys are great. Join us next week.
Well, there's nothing wrong with loving love.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Of course there's nothing wrong with loving love. Don't make it seem like we were saying otherwise.
I haven't been explicit.
Ryan, I got to tell you, on this side of the room, it really seems like you and Sam are kind of picking the wrong side of history here.
Oh my god.
Cripplingly empathetic.
Alright, is there anything else we should talk about?
Well, I guess we kind of got your sort orders of kind of by the history of how you came to them. I mean, I don't know, guys, what do you think?
About Star Wars?
Okay, let's wrap up with that. What do you guys think?
No, I mean, I think, is there more to explore here? We're
oh, I mean, I think right. there's I do a lot a to explore. Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Again, because I am a fan, but I'm not a super fan. Sure. So I have like a real gap of knowledge. He wrote the first six.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Kind of.
Kind of.
So he like he storied out the first six. He doesn't have a screenplay credit on Empire and Jedi.
Okay.
They were like written, like the scripts were actually written by other people.
Which is sad because, you know, they were somehow worse.
Who wrote
what, Empire and Jedi?
Oh wait, no, sorry, sorry.
Who wrote the Anakin one?
Wait, he wrote
those were all George Lucas.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the
We said we said second and third. So we thought you meant the prequels.
We thought you meant the episodes one through three.
Yeah.
My bad.
Wow. They were just trying to play.
I thought you were telling me George Lucas didn't write those. Which he did, though, right?
Yeah.
Just to be making sure.
One, two, and three he did wrote, although he did write. Although Tom Stoppard did ghostwriting on episode three. That's true.
Whoa.
Was he drama? I mean,
he had no more plays
like,
to write.
I'm sure he was like, yeah, George, send the check. I'll look it over and put in a few commas and said everything looks good here.
And collected
I didn't know what they
paycheck.
Were talking about.
I'm That's really interesting. Disappointed in
See, okay,
Stoppard.
So he wrote 1, 2, 3, and 4, not 5 and 6.
Correct.
Right.
And then
he worked closely with the writers, but
hovering, breathing heavily behind them.
Yes, exactly.
But oh, okay. Wait, I have another thing I want to bring up. But and then 7 and 8 were written by
J.J. Abrams people. And Lawrence Kasdan wrote 7, and Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson wrote 8.
Because those are great.
Yeah. Lawrence Kasdan also wrote.
That might Empire, also be Empire. Why I like those the best.
He wrote Empire Strikes Back as well. So, and then they brought him back to do that movie and Solo.
Oh, this is another. Sorry, this is like such a non sequitur, but I like bookmarked this in my mind to bring up at this podcast. My boyfriend's father is building a cabin and he has an excavator that like picks up dirt and all this stuff. And I realized that all of the things in Star Wars are just construction items. That's it. What are the things that move like elephants?
Yeah. The AT-ATs.
Those are just construction tools. Like that's all they are. Like, the excavator moves exactly
like one of those things.
Yes.
You think they're just drawing from things they saw on the set?
Literally.
Are you implying that you're telling, it's not a documentary?
You're right. No, I want to think that his inspiration came from, like, animals. Looking out the window and being like, loud noises next door, doing a lot of construction.
Yeah. It wasn't like this big, like, futurist vision. It was like he literally saw a backhoe, like, picking some dirt up. And he's like,
he was having an extension put onto his pool house after a new hope came out. And he's like, I have an idea.
He's like, you know, that's pretty neat. I like that. That'll be good.
Sarah, do you have any questions that we might answer?
I'm looking at, you know, I have a strong feeling about Laura Dern.
Oh.
From the. Last movie, but I can't remember what it is. And I honestly, can you guys talk a little bit about her so I can remember how I felt?
Sure.
I felt strongly. I just don't know which way.
So she was
honestly
an admiral who was put in charge of the fleet and she sort of, she outranked Poe Dameron and so Poe and Finn.
Who plays Poe?
Kind of did like
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac.
Poe can be in the three-way. Sorry, Laura Dern.
Keep going about Laura Dern.
Why?
Yeah, why would... What incentive does Sam have to keep going about Laura Dern?
Okay, fine. Yeah. So I guess Oscar it's Isaac not going to... Whatever you tell us about Laura Dern, it's not going to be successful.
Wait, so she plays Admiral Holdo.
He led an end-around around her orders, and she wouldn't tell him what, like, the reasoning behind her orders were.
Yeah,
And then
because why should a higher officer have to tell an inferior officer what their plan is?
Okay, disagree.
It turns out she was actually a good guy all along, keeping the fleet alive. And then she And then she does a big, big old suicide run right through the enemy, the First Order fleet.
Oh, shit. I still can't remember.
She had purple hair.
She
did have purple hair.
I did read that
she was tall. I think I liked that.
I did read something where, or maybe actually Chris told me that whenever she fired a gun, she made the pew.
She would make the pew sound. Yeah, that's true.
Laura Dern is like unreasonably charming.
Yeah.
I don't think she is in that movie.
Yeah, that's what I was trying.
Well, no,
I
feel she's great. Like, she's great. Like she's great. I mean, like Laura Dern as a person is unreasonably charming.
Yeah.
I just feel like
I think Haldo's just
felt
like
weird
great.
About her.
I feel like the whole time I was just like, oh, I'm watching Laura Dern in space.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
Well, I think a lot of people were frustrated with her character in that she
was an exposition tool.
Because she didn't want to share her plan or the like, because she didn't owe Poe a reasoning behind her plan. And, you know, ultimately, it's like he tries
her. Laura Dern was like, if Hillary Clinton won, and it was like an alternate universe you're watching where she was.
That was
like,
it.
That, I think that's why it hurt or felt very uncomfortable.
Oh, interesting.
Also, you just reminding us about Laura Dern not sharing her plan reminds me that Star Wars only works because everybody lies to each other.
Oh, interesting.
Like, the movies would be so much shorter if people were like, this is the plan.
Right. But my question has always been is, if they were trying to keep, like, Luke secret and Anakin's last name was Skywalker, why on Tatooine would they just call him Luke Skywalker? It's like, just look him up.
I mean,
I like how you said why on Tatooine, like you were saying why on Earth.
Why on Tatooine?
Yeah.
Have you seen this? Have you seen this? The desert?
Maybe Skywalker is like a really common name. Have
like
we considered
Smith.
That?
Oh, that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would... Yeah. Out of all the Skywalkers in the galaxy, I think that one's your father. Nice, Luke. That kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
See you later, Mr. Skywalker.
Go back to milking the
moof milkers.
Yeah.
There was never a
paternity
test.
Go back to milking all those moofs.
I never saw a paternity test. Yeah,
it's true. Never got that birth certificate.
Show us the birth certificate.
Oh, God. Well, I think that's gonna do it.
That's the blackout.
So on the birther note, the Skywalker birthers.
Sarah Burton, the Skywalker birther. There it is. Yep. That's what we've heard. Oh my gosh!
Oh my god, that's so good.
I'm so happy we made it. We made it. We made it through.
Yeah.
What a journey.
Thank you so much
for
having us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah.
We totally understand you will not release this.
I don't, and I'll
this
be
will,
angry if
this
I don't
will be
hear
released.
It.
This will be released.
Whatever we decide, I had a blast.
This was delightful.
Oh my god. We
maybe we'll just like put a little disclaimer on it before.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't even know
what
to say.
That's
what
they do on This American Life. They're like,
Disney, do not listen to this episode.
They're like, this episode is not for you to listen to with your kids.
Can we talk about my favorite thing is on This American Life is when they give a disclaimer that's really condescending where they're like, just a warning, this section refers to sex being a thing that people do. And it's like, oh, okay. But it sounds like snarky where
I
they're like, so if you can't handle it.
Yeah.
But then,
I think what we're going to do is we're just going to send the export over to Mike and let him hack it out on the edit.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We'll let Mike do the edit on
he
this
really
one.
He really only needs to remove that one accidental curse I had.
Yeah, we can do that. That's easy. We got it. Don't worry. This is great.
Sarah and Allie, thank you so much for
thank
joining us.
Thank you so much.
Wait, before you leave,
is there anything you want to plug? Anything coming up?
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
When does this come out? Yeah.
Hopefully this week.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Come to Caveat July 22nd at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. You can find more information about the venue, Caveat NYC. Mm-hmm. And see Sarah and I host I'm a Doctor Now, Stories of Self-Diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. They're,
right.
It's a women's health episode, so.
Wonderful.
It's
going
to get nasty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm also working on a podcast called Mean Book Club that we've we have not released, and I don't know when we will. But keep your
we're looking
just
forward.
Keep googling.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
we'll announce it. We'll yeah. announce it on here as a great, it'll great. Be it'll That's be a little promo we do.
Right.
I mean, you could also announce Mission to Zix.
Mission to Zix. Oh, yeah. Look out for that.
Podcast.
Plays.
We're in our second season.
Kind of set up the whole thing. The voice of Dar, the omnisexual security guard. So look for that.
We're basically doing our own. We make fun of Star Trek and Star Wars.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Full circle.
But lovingly, right? Or like my parents.
Both. A lot like both.
Wow. We'd love to have you back always, to solve all these issues.
As always, please follow us at DroidsPod on Twitter. And at DroidsPod on Instagram, I believe. Yes?
Yep. Yes. That's
yes.
it.
So check back on those. Email us at Chris.
DroidsPod at gmail.com.
And please rate and review us on iTunes. That would very much help us out. And please tell your friends, if you enjoy our podcast, that they should listen as well.
Okay.
The more, the merrier.
That'll do it for the droids you're looking for.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Annie?